What's your dream? Everybody comes here. This is Hollywood, land of dreams. Some dreams come true, some don't. But keep on dreaming. This is Hollywood. Always time to dream, so keep on dreaming.
Hey, this is Vern Troyer, and you're listening to Don Reese's Hollywood Connections.
It's Wednesday. You know what that means. It's your number one entertainment show in the Tampa Bay area, Hollywood Connections. Now your host, the lady with all the connections, Dawn Reese. Lights, camera, action. You're on.
Thank you, Peter Blake. And wow, today, Larry... Oh my gosh, we have a power-packed house on Hollywood Connections. It's huge.
We do. We have an amazing show, and that was the longest Dawn I've ever heard.
I felt like I was going to come out and wrestle.
There you go.
Like, I'm going to wrestle.
I'm trying to give you a good intro.
That was awesome. That was awesome.
That was
ringmaster.
Amazing.
I know.
Been told I got a good voice, so, you know, try
awesome
to use it.
Voice.
You do, and I got a surprise calling in for you, too, in about 5 minutes.
I always like surprises on your show.
I know.
That's why you got to listen to Hollywood Connections on Wednesdays from 6 to 8 on the Tan Talk Radio Network.
I know. So, Peter, like, let me know when he's on. That would be cool.
All right.
He. And oh, I thought it was a she.
He.
Oh, okay.
He. It's a VIP, and I called him when I was at the gas station. I'm like, oh my gosh, I've got through to his corporate office. I'm excited. And thank you for having me on your show the last half hour.
No problem.
Tell everybody who you are.
My name is Raymond Miller. I am the president and general manager of the St. Pete Tide, a new professional basketball team here in the St. Pete area.
That's
awesome.
Right. And also, Peter Blake, you're our sports guy as well.
That's right. I do the only FM sports talk show in the Tampa Bay area, the Sports Web, from 3 to 5 on Saturday afternoons. Bring your passion. Bring your excitement. Just don't bring any nonsense. I'm your host, Peter Blake, giving you something to think about.
I love it, Peter. And we have Larry in the house from Sunny's Comedy Club.
Yeah. We're going to have a little comedy moment, aren't we?
Yes, we are. We're going to have comedy after some sports talk in a second.
I want to ask about basketball.
Yeah, I know.
I'm excited.
I know. And we have to have everybody go to Sunny's Comedy Club, right? You don't even have to go over the bridge. It's right on Highway 19 on Sunset Point.
Yep. Just get up at Sunset Point Road at the exit there. And underneath the bridge, we have a comedy show on weekends. You can bring your own bottle of wine from Albertsons. And
can you really?
A couple, no.
I gotcha.
We'll get arrested. We don't want to do that.
And then we also have our new reporter here. He's with us, and he's hanging on. But, Peter, let's talk sports for a minute. You guys talk. Larry, talk about your comedy show.
Okay, well, we have a great show this weekend, as a matter of fact, up at Sonny's Comedy Lounge at the Sunset Point Cinema Bar and Grill. This weekend, it's a once-a-month special. We do it the first Saturday of every month, and it's our live comedy improv troupe, formerly the Charming Hooligans, will be there. Well, some of the members of the Charming Hooligans will be there. We had a great show last month on Saturday.
Talk about what happened to my husband last week.
Oh, well, okay. Let me talk about the improv just for another moment. Actually, this troupe is phenomenal. They performed there for over a decade, and they had a midnight show, and they managed to pull in over 100 people every weekend.
Wow,
after
midnight. Every weekend?
Yeah, you're probably young enough to remember that. Have you lived in this area for a while?
No, I haven't been here long enough. I've only been here for about 2 years.
Okay, well, everybody from the countryside area that didn't have a valid ID came there to
that's
drink.
That's where it was at.
That was, you know, so we had a packed house every weekend. It was like a cult following. It was amazing. And the kids got involved in the show week after week after week. And right. The performers were phenomenal. And some of them have gotten older, but... they've gotten better.
They're still funny. They're funnier.
funny as could be, and we got a great show. If you love comedy improv, if you like Whose Line Is It Anyway, that's what these guys are all about. It's a little more adult than that, a little more R-rated, maybe
but
X-rated.
Don't fall asleep like my husband did.
Okay, well, we get to that. Now, last weekend we had a phenomenal show at the club.
Yes.
Friday and Saturday night. And Saturday night we had a very special, was it Friday or Saturday?
It was Friday.
Friday night. We had a very special headliner, one of my all-time favorites, Bill O.C., who started his career on my stage, and we needed something memorable for him to take away from last week's show.
Mm-hmm.
So we asked one of the people in the audience if they would fall asleep and be out cold during his performance, which Dawn's husband obliged us.
That's not an easy thing to do, is it? Just to make yourself fall asleep?
No, actually, we didn't ask him. He just did.
He worked really, really hard. But you know what? I have to go to this phone call because I've been waiting for this gentleman for many, many years here. And we have a surprise for both of you sports fanatics as well. And I have John John Steinmiller on the phone. John, are you there?
Yeah, Don, I want to hear the end of that story.
Oh, oh well, he fell asleep and we threw him out and called the police.
What happened was my husband wakes up. Now he's getting more comfortable in the chair and he's getting more comfortable. I'm like, oh my God, and the comic is zooming in on him. And then he wakes up and he goes, Don, why is that comic picking on me? I said, honey, you just fell asleep for 20 minutes.
All right, that's good.
Nothing spells comedy like passing out on the comic, you know, in the second row where you can see you.
Exactly.
Great. Well, there's so much good comedy around. It's amazing how it's that whole industry has really blossomed, at least in the Midwest. I'm sure it is down there, too.
We're making it happen here, John. And, John, what is your title now? Now, I worked for the Milwaukee Bucks back in the days. I was 20 years old or 19 or 20. My goodness. And what is your title now? What are you doing there?
I am doing Executive Vice President of Operations. I do a little bit of everything. At the current time, we're in the process of building a new arena. And a lot of my attention is actually going to the last 2 years in our old building. The next 2 years, while the building's being built, we're trying to maintain some really high standards in our old building so we can keep all of our fans coming, because there's adjustments in construction and parking and things like that. So I'm really focusing on the guest experience and making sure that our current building is totally up to speed so that when we move into the new one, we will not have lost any customers.
Wow, that's exciting. I know I have two sports shows here, and I have them as my guest. And I know you have a question first for John.
Oh, yeah. Hey, John. This is Ray Miller. I'm the general manager down here with the St. Pete Tide.
All right.
We're a new American Basketball Association team. That's.
Okay.
Yeah, we're starting play this season and bringing professional basketball to St. Petersburg. I'm going to be playing at Eckerd College, actually, on their campus.
Great.
So, I mean, obviously.
Tickets available. What's the phone number?
Oh, yeah. Tickets are available at stpetide.org. All the information is there on stpetide.org. You can buy season tickets, single game tickets. So,
right.
Obviously, we're looking up to an organization like you and trying to build something, you know, in the similar light. Obviously, not on that big of a scale, but the way that you're having to transition from one building to the other and maintain
right.
that fan base, that's definitely not an easy thing. My question, I guess, is just what kind of advice would you have for an expansion team or a minor league team or maybe a younger you?
Well, I would, you know, if you're starting out a team, I think it's really important to make sure you know the community and then you go out into the community as strong as you can by building not only a fan base of season ticket holders and kind of deputize them to go out and talk about you at their Rotary meetings or their,
right.
whatever their community meetings are. Do a lot of stuff at the schools. Once you get your players in hand, make sure that your coach and your players are in the community as often as possible, not just during the off season, but even during your season. But reaching out and building that base of fans who get to know you, get to know your players, and the young people can benefit, whether you do a basketball clinic or you do a Q&A, whatever it takes. The more time you can spend in the community within, I don't know how far you'll draw from, but 25, 30, 35 miles, the more you can draw, the more people will show up and the more support you'll get.
Oh, yeah, I totally agree. I appreciate that advice, and that's definitely been our mindset when we go out and do this. It's definitely grassroots approach and getting out in the community and trying to make an impact, you know.
If Don gives you a half-hour show once a week, that'll help a lot, too.
Yeah, we actually have our own show. It's called St. Pete Tide Radio, and it's right before Don's show. So we just had Don on there sharing some great stories about her days with the Bucks and was telling us a little bit about you guys.
Are you sure you can talk about those?
She kept it clean.
No, this is when I got all that free stuff. That's what I liked about working the T-shirts, right?
Nothing that'll get you arrested. Yeah.
No. But I also have Peter Blake. He has a sports show. He is my engineer today, and Peter loves sports as well. And I know he's been waiting to ask you some questions. Peter, this is John Steinmiller.
How you doing, John? Hi. This is Peter Blake, host of the Sports Web, the only FM sports talk show in the Tampa Bay area from 3 to 5 on Saturday afternoons with the Tantalk Sports Network. Talk about your organization as a whole, those building blocks. You have an exciting point guard, 6'11", freak Greek player, and Giannis, and you also have Jabari Parker. Talk about both of those players and what they mean to your organization.
Both of them are fantastic individuals. They're young guys. They have great stories to tell. Giannis came from Greece, literally, played a little basketball there, played a lot of basketball there, but was living in tough conditions, really, and got the eye of one of our scouts, and we drafted him, and I think there were other people waiting behind us, but we were fortunate enough to get him, and he has just developed in his career so well that he has our fans all excited. He's kind of the face of the team at this point because of his energy, because of his willingness to play hard, to get better in the off season. So many good attributes off the court combined with his talent. It's 6'11", he's 222 pounds, he's put on some good weight. It's just an amazing process to watch.
He's a mismatch nightmare because if you're playing this guy a point guard or even at the two, I mean, try to guard that. I mean, his athleticism is ridiculous. And then Jabari Parker, who got hurt his first year, I know you're excited to have him back because he was a player at Duke, you know, highly productive. He's got the athleticism. I mean, these are the guys, the two building blocks that are making it possible for the Bucks to move into their new arena.
Right, and Jabari came out of Duke after his first year, but I can tell you that he probably got more out of his Duke commitment, not only on the court, but also the whole culture of the Duke basketball program is so strong in terms of building character, building integrity, building a commitment not only to basketball, but to the school. It's just a fantastic. I wish every NBA player went through Duke and got what Jabari got in just 1 year, but he has recovered from a knee injury that was very disappointing his rookie year. Came back last year and had a good season, averaged, I think, 14 points a game. And this year he's off to a good start, too. So those two guys are really the kind of the cornerstones of what we're trying to build.
And speaking of cornerstones, you hire Jason Kidd. Talk about the thinking of that and what's the impact of him being added to that organization with his playing career and now being a coach of the Bucks. You guys are off to a 2-2 start. Again, it's early, but you can see that the improvement last year and this year, they're only going to get better, right?
Yeah, and I can tell you that Jason Kidd, his hiring came as we acquired new ownership. We have three individuals, Wes Edens, Mark Lazary, and Jamie Dinan, as well as a strong group of other owners and also some local ownership that really has combined to just grow our business, grow our franchise tremendously. And being in the New York area, they thought that Jason Kidd could certainly flourish as a coach in our market and with the team they're going to build. And he's been a tremendous asset to our younger players. He's such a good example of what a guard is in NBA basketball, and it has really worked well. He works well with the young players. He knows how to handle veterans. And all things said, I think we're very blessed to have him.
Yeah, it's a natural fit. I mean, he's a point guard. He's a general on the court. And now he's a coach of that team, that upcoming team. Now, speaking of an upcoming team, we're down here in the Tampa Bay area. And we talk about the Orlando Magic. What do you think about the direction they're going in with some of their young players and free agents that they got in the offseason?
Well, I think Orlando is always, it's such a great organization that they're always going to be ready. Everybody goes through changes. Everybody goes through building a team. And the one thing about Orlando is I think they've got solid ownership. They've got a commitment to the city. And they have, I think, a good group of young guys, just as we have had the last couple years, that are growing year by year. And they're going to be a force. It's just a matter of how quick they can get there, and they can't rush it.
Yeah, John, I have a question, too, because I know some people that, like Peter, is such a great sportscaster as well. And I know John McLaughlin was one of your MCs for many years for the Milwaukee Bucks. Any advice that you can give Peter, how to get with a team or anything like that? And is that something that you do or you can market somebody to?
Well,
or?
Yeah, it depends whether you want a career in sports talk radio or whether you have your eyes on announcing. Most of the analysts in radio and television are former players or coaches. That's the hard one to crack into because to be an expert, a lot of people feel you have to have played the game either in college and or professionally.
Exactly.
but in terms of play-by-play, that's something that you can start on very early in your life, in your career, by just getting used to doing play-by-play, creating your style, listening to all the ones who are on the air, whether it's in radio or TV, and maybe picking up points, not necessarily imitating, but learning what you like about how they perform their commentary or their play-by-play, and then go to work at it, whether it's high school games, college games, throw your hat in the ring, and just doing any sport. You know, you may have a priority of sports, but having enough knowledge of any sport, if there's an opening, to take it and work at it, and then really work at getting better and moving up the chain, whether it's a small college that from there you jump to a mid-sized college, and from there you jump to a larger college situation. It's a matter of developing your style, being good at it, and looking for opportunities. And sometimes they come in strange ways.
Gotcha. Now, also, isn't Milwaukee Bucks playing Orlando pretty soon?
It's coming up, yeah. Are you going to bring a group here? We got some great group ticket rates. I'm sure that we'd be happy to.
I know.
And well, I know the station has a charter jet, I'm sure, so you could just put 8 or 10 people on and come on up. And you know the weather's great here. It was 74 degrees yesterday.
I know.
And sunny.
There you go.
You got to get your tickets quick before the weather changes.
I know.
I think Orlando's coming up very shortly, and I'm looking at my schedule.
Are there any will call tickets, John? I'm putting you on the spot. I'll give a commercial for the Bucks.
November 21st, we'll see Orlando. So that will be maybe you call me back before that game and we can bet on something legally,
ooh,
you know, not illegally. But
I got to say, I'm a Magic fan, but I would favor the Bucks here because I think the Magic, to me, they got some things they have to work out. They have some veterans in Ibaka and Biombo, but besides that, you know, Fournier, he's okay, but where's the other scoring coming from? Look at the Bucks, and I think they're a little bit more a little bit better at this point. You have scorers. You have an identity. I don't think the Magic have definitely found that identity yet.
No, but that'll take time. But every game that goes by, they get better. And we have guys that are new, too. We've got 4 or 5 new players that are regular players. You never know in our league. And I think our conference is a tough one, but It just happens where some nights, if you get the effort, you can really surprise a team that's better.
Very true.
I'm not predicting a loss by us, but I am telling you it's going to be a difficult game. That's for sure.
You look at the Magic game last night, I think they survived the 76ers, and 76ers are looked at as a team that is just, I think every year they are going to the process of trying to draft first-round picks. What is your thought process on what the 76ers are doing as an organization? Do you like that? Because it kind of hurts the fans in the way of, well, we're looking to draft number one every year. I don't know if fans can buy that. Are you?
I don't know. I think they're out of that mode myself. I think they have Colangelo there, Brian Colangelo, who's the president and GM, I think, or at least the president of basketball. He knows how to build a team. He's done it in Phoenix. He's done it in other places. And I think Brian Colangelo will speed up the process. I've already read a little bit about him that, you know, he's not into this play to get a first round pick. He wants to build a team, get the most out of it and add to it. But you can spend a lot of time losing games and it creates a pretty bad culture for your players because you don't want to be comfortable losing, but when lineups are different or you're trying to just give players experience, sometimes it's a fine line to walk and your fans do get impatient. And sometimes rightly so. But I think their leadership in Brian Colangelo is going to, you're going to see some pretty good basketball out of Philadelphia.
Now, I know the other sports guy here has another question for you as well.
Yeah, it's Ray Miller again with the St. Pete Tide. I was just wondering, John, what about, like, you know, we talk a lot about players and them reaching their potential and, you know, different points in their career. And we just were talking about as a broadcaster how you have to move up the ranks from high school to college and Division One. What about, you know, you as an executive? What has kept you motivated and hungry to get to that next level? And are you living out your dream job right now, or is there another level that you want to get out to?
Since it started. You know, I started oh man, I was 40. This is my 47th season. So I started my last semester at Marquette University in Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Okay.
Which is a great school.
Dwayne Wade.
Dwayne Wade. It goes way back. Al McGuire as coach at one point. Tom Crean coached there. Really, just great basketball there. But I really was very fortunate. I stumbled across a job my senior year at Marquette and started working for the Bucks in their third season.
Oh, wow.
And they didn't call it internships. You just came in and did what they told you to do.
Yeah, it was opportunity.
Yeah, and it was an opportunity, and originally it was going to be like, they said, oh, this will be 4 or 5 hours a week. And the reason I had even known about the job was that a friend of mine heard about it, went in and interviewed and said, oh, I can't make any money. I'm only going to work 4 hours a week. Well, when I heard it was the Bucks, and I'm a big basketball fan and was then even, I went down there, interviewed, and got the job, and I heard that 4 or 5 hours, but first of all, it ended up being about 10 hours the first week, and then the second week was 20, and in a month I was doing 30, 35 hours just because I stayed busy. They had a front office there of about 10 or 12 people, and that included ticket sellers, general manager, a president, an accountant.
Yeah, wearing a lot of hats.
So there was a lot to do. I learned a lot, and there was a change in management where our president went down to Houston to help build the Houston Summit, a new building in Houston for their team, and he took the PR guy, and that's what I had majored in, basically, public relations and marketing and advertising. And I'd been pretty good in my job. I went to full-time after graduation, and I spent 2 years full-time doing whatever they told me to do. I worked in tickets, worked in our basketball camps. We had a great youth camp program in the summer. But I was mentored by Wayne Embry, who was our player personnel director, and a guy named Jim Foley, who was our PR director. And Jim Foley went down to Houston to help Ray Patterson build the Summit and get their team really on the radar down there. And then Wayne Embry became the general manager because our president went to Houston. So I was able to interview for the PR job and got it. Wow. I think I was 22 years old then, and did that for about 7 years, and then moved on to the business side, and I've been there ever since.
Wow.
So it's hard to get in places.
That's impressive.
You have
how you
to
took
start
it,
anywhere.
Took
you got
to.
And for young people, if you start working now, if you're not an athlete or you're not on a team, but you're interested in getting involved in sports, you can first of all volunteer in your high school program. You can usually get paid possibly part-time on a college, working in the college athletic office or working for one of the sports, and just get experience in organization and being around athletes and being around coaches, and just develop a foundation, not only of sports, but just of committing yourself to work. There's probably, I might have 3 weekends a year or 3 weekends a season when we're not playing. So you're giving up Friday nights, Saturday nights, you're giving up Sunday afternoons sometimes. But if you love it, you're going to become able to keep moving up that ladder of experience and of commitment and of reputation.
Wow, John, I think we should just add you to the show once a week, and you can call in, and I think we could have the John Steinmiller moment of the Milwaukee Bucks.
Yeah, that would be fun. I'd love to create some fans down there.
I
ask a question of your sports experts there?
Sure, go ahead.
I kind of follow the, in addition to Bucks, which are my favorite team, of course, but I follow hockey a little bit, and I'm wondering about that guy you have that's tied for the NHL lead in goals. Who's on the? He's on the Lightning.
Killorn.
Steven something.
Well, Steven Stamkos, but you also have Killorn on this team. But yeah, Steven Stamkos is a heck of a player. He's a superstar. It was a great signing by the Tampa Bay Lightning. There were a lot of talking heads that believed that the Tampa Bay Lightning were not going to sign him. To get him in a Tampa Bay Lightning uniform and keep him for the duration makes this franchise the number one franchise in all professional sports, and according to ESPN. So
really?
Right now, the Tampa Bay Lightning are the team that everybody wants to be like right now. Steve Yzerman has built them, of course, and there's a Milwaukee connection here. John Cooper used to coach the minor league team.
The Admirals,
Yes, that's correct.
Yeah.
And then he came to, I believe he was at Syracuse, and then he eventually worked his way with the Tampa Bay Lightning.
That's great.
Been unbelievable, and this team should win the Stanley Cup this year. They have everything
really?
That you would want. Absolutely. You know, goaltending is going to be the key here. Defensively, they have to get better. Power play has to get better. It's early in the season. The power play hasn't been
early.
Right. But Ben Bishop has to stay healthy. And saying that, if Bishop doesn't stay healthy, they still have Vasilevsky. They have the experience. Mark it down. They're going to win the Stanley Cup this year. I say it every year, but this is the year. Everything is going to come together. They got Hedman signed. They got Kucherov in the fold. They got all these young superstars, and they got a kid by the name of Jonathan Drouin who's going to set it all up, who's going to make it even better for Steven Stamkos. You watch and see.
Yeah, and he's right now I'm watching because he's tied for the NHL lead in goals with Anamisov from the Hawks.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll keep an eye on both of them, and I know Patrick Kane will be in that same hunt.
Yeah, absolutely. And Killorn, there's another player down here that a lot of people don't know about. He's very underrated, and Alex Killorn, he shows up at the biggest moments. He's doing quite well with the Tampa Bay Lightning right now. What they're worried about is their power play hasn't been great, but they just absolutely smashed the Islanders last night 6-1. So they're back on the winning track. This team, look, they're so talented, but they fall into these type of places where they lose two in a row or they start out slow. But now they're starting, they have the depth, like I said. They have everybody that you would want to win a Stanley Cup. They just have to put it all together, and they have to be consistent. But John Cooper is the antithesis of what you want in a coach, a player's coach. And Steve Yzerman understands how to build a hockey team. And then Jeff Vinnick, ownership-wise, he's the guy that everybody should take after in the Tampa Bay area, the Buccaneers, the Rays, because he's absolutely built this team up. This team was a laughing stock with a horrible ownership. He kind of got these fans back into the fold. He rebuilt this team. He got this fan base on board, and now they are the model organization of all in professional sports.
Well, I hope they meet the Blackhawks in the Stanley Cup Finals.
I hope so, too, because we got a score to settle.
We can bet on that one, too. I got another question for you, though.
Sure.
In addition to the Blackhawks, I grew up in Chicago.
You're a Cubs fan, aren't you?
I am a Cubs fan. I wanted to ask you if Joe Maddon can work his magic tonight.
Yes, I think he can, and I'll tell you why. Because Corey Kluber is on, I believe, 3 days rest. He's already pitched.
Three games, hasn't he?
Right. But right now, the Cubs have the momentum. You can see it. Joe Maddon, he's got this team relaxed. They went into that game last night. They were relaxed. Addison Russell came out of that slump. And the key is, with them adding the DH, and the guy escapes me. The name is
Schwarber.
You have Schwarber to that lineup already. Those guys are hot right now, and you have a guy that nobody's really talking about, and Hendrickson. He's going to pitch well. You have John Lester. The Cubs are going to win it tonight. They're going to break that 108-year streak. They're going to win the World Series, and the reason why is because Joe Maddon and because Theo Epstein put this team together so perfectly with veterans and with rookie draft picks, and they've all come together, and it's because of Joe Maddon. And the biggest mistake, and every Tampa Bay Ray fan knows this, they're listening right now, and they're basically pulling their hair out, is to get rid of Joe Maddon, the winningest Rays manager in their history. You get rid of the best manager in the game. He goes to the Cubs. He wins a World Series. That guy's going to be a legend. I grew up as a Cubs fan in 1989. I remember that team with Don Zimmer, and you had Greg Maddux, and you had Damon Berryhill, and you had Dwight Smith, and Sean Dunstan, and Mark Grace, and Ryan Sandberg, and all those great players, and they couldn't get it done. But the reason why they're going to get it done tonight, they made the moves at the deadline with Chapman. They have the management. They have the players. They're going to get it done tonight in Cleveland.
And it's interesting that Francona, the manager of the Indians, and Theo were together.
Correct. And also, if you think about it for a minute, John, because you're a big-time baseball fan, in 2008, who did Joe Maddon beat to get to the World Series against the Phillies? Terry Francona. There you go. History repeats itself. So, I think Joe Maddon's got something on Terry Francona. I believe he's 11-3 all-time in World Series games. But there's something about Joe Maddon, and there's something about this Chicago Cub team that you say, you know what? They weren't the best team in Major League Baseball for no reason. They're going to get it done tonight. So,
well, if they do get it done about 11:30 at night in your area, look out the window because Chicago will be glowing the minute that game's over.
You'll see
the fireworks. They run the fireworks out of every neighborhood, and hopefully it'll be a great, peaceful celebration if they can come through. And there's a lot of Cub fans that have been waiting for a long time.
Yeah, and you know what? Here's the funny thing here. They're flying Charlie Sheen to Cleveland. I don't understand why the Cubs haven't flown Thomas Ian Nichols, because if you remember, he was in Rookie of the Year, that movie.
Great movie.
And he actually won the World Series. Charlie Sheen took the Indians to the World Series. They never knew if they won or not. Of course they didn't win. Why aren't the Cubs flying Thomas Ian Nichols to Cleveland? I mean, as a
we got Bill Murray there.
Oh, yeah,
we got
Bill
Murray and John Cusack.
Cusack, and you got also Eddie Vedder from,
Pearl Jam.
Yes.
Yep.
Well, so, John, I want to make you part of the show. I'm going to give you a proposal after the show.
You just call me. Call me anytime. Call me anytime.
I know. And you have one more question for Don. I know we have callers left.
Yep. But just before I get off the air, John, this is Ray Miller again. I just wanted to, you know, wish you guys a great season. I'm definitely going to be paying attention. And I appreciate, I appreciate you spending your time with us. And it's definitely motivational for me looking up to somebody like you. We actually have a tie to your team. One of our players, Pat Hogabook. He's family members with John Henson, you know, a local guy.
Really?
From Tampa.
Great. Well, John's a fantastic young guy, really had a good game. The last couple games, he's really come on, and we're happy to have him, and he's a fun guy to watch. He really is. So I'm glad to hear that. I'm sure John will maybe connect with him when we're down in Orlando. And
yeah, we'll
wish you all the best. You know, you can really create a lot of good things if you can get your coach and your team together and realizing that it's just not what they do on the court, it's what they do off the court too. They can really connect and people be talking about it.
Right. I appreciate that. Thanks a lot, John.
Larry. Hey, John, before you go, I have just one question.
Yes. Hold on. Yes. Go ahead, Larry.
Got time for one more question, John?
Sure.
That offer to have us come up and watch a game, you take care of us on some seats? We don't know.
Oh, yeah. I'll get you the tickets. Yeah.
Awesome.
That's the easy part.
We don't have a corporate jet, but we got like this old school bus.
Hey, we could do that.
I got a Mustang, so I think I could travel up there with that.
John, okay. It's been memory lane, I'll tell you. I still have dreams that I'm at the Milwaukee Bucks game doing my stats and cheering.
You're a very good employee. You were very, very serious in your job, and you should be very proud. It was an exciting time then. We had great teams, made the playoffs 11 years in a row. I think you were part of the front end of that.
I was.
And it was great times. And now we're going to be in our third arena. You started out at the Milwaukee Arena, and then we went to Bradley Center, where we're at now, and then BMO Harris Bradley Center, by the way.
Wow.
And now we're moving over to a new building in a couple of years. So you were in on the early days.
I know. And what a memory maker it was for me. John Steinmiller from the Milwaukee Bucks basketball, my hometown. And John, we definitely want to have you call back. I got some ideas.
All right. Okay. Thank you.
Thanks a lot, John. Appreciate it. You're welcome on the sports web anytime you want.
There you go.
Just give me a buzz. Don has a number. Give me a buzz.
All right. Thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Well, guys, that was a surprise. I know we went over. We have callers. We have comics. We have agents. We have producers. So what did you think about John Steinmiller?
Oh, it was great just to be able to hear somebody at that level. I mean, you see what goes on the game days. You see it on TV, but you don't really get to hear that perspective from, you know, upper management like that. So it was a great experience.
Thank you. And when he talked about the schools, I'm in the schools called Be Cool, Stay in School.
Okay.
So what we need to do is take some of your players with us. I've got Great American Teaching coming in, other schools.
I've been hearing all about that.
Yep. And so something like that was good advice to you.
Yeah, that's great advice. We're working on a program. It's called Ballers and Scholars, where we're going to bring players into the schools, talk about the importance of education, and reward the students.
Well, I've
with
got something
tickets,
coming up
so
November
I'd love to
17th.
Do something like that. Let's definitely get on it. Yep.
Okay, Peter, what do you think?
That's great. Great analysis of his team and his organization. I like what he had to say about the Orlando Magic and the Tampa Bay Lightning. Of course, he's a Cubs fan, so you got to appreciate somebody that's a Cubs fan, because first and foremost, if you're a Cubs fan, you got lots of heart, and I like lots of heart. I like that, so I like him.
That is good. I know we have a comic that's on the phone. Larry, tell us about the comic.
Is he still there?
Let me figure this out here.
I know we have Marty on the phone, too. He's a top agent. So thank you for being so patient, everybody, because that was a special call for you guys. You guys do a lot for me as well. So our comic.
Thank you.
All right, who do we have on the air?
We got Jordan on the line.
Jordan.
Hello.
Hi, Jordan. How you doing?
I'm okay, Larry. How are you, baby?
Did you check out that interview we just had on the air?
I listened to almost all of it. It was very interesting.
Very, very interesting, man.
I'm a large fan of Milwaukee. And
are you?
I have a quick little story with the Magic got mentioned, and I'm not a big sports fan, but I have a quick little anecdote about the Magic. I represented a sports illustrator years ago, and her name is Julie Simmons.
Okay.
And she was a phenomenal sports illustrator.
Ooh.
She asked me if I would represent her. I said, yeah, I know nothing about sports and nothing about art, so you got the right guy. But I did a very good job for her, but I got her an opportunity to send some work off to the Orlando Magic to become their sports illustrator when they first started the team.
Ooh.
And unfortunately, she got beat out by Leroy Neiman.
Oh, yeah.
And she cried for 2 days, and I walked in and almost smacked her on the side of her head and said, do you understand you were just beat out by Leroy Neiman, one of the world's most famous artists right now, commercial artists, that being beat out by him is a wonderful, wonderful place to be. You're only second to Leroy Neiman.
Well, you know, he was one of our judges of the Mrs. America pageant back in 1982.
Was he really? Is he crazy? Wow. I heard he's crazy.
I remember those days, yeah, way back in the day.
Is he crazy?
I'm not going to say that. I just remember, like, vivid memories.
Because at the risk of being sued, Julie Simmons was crazy. But that's artists, you know, they're crazy.
So Jordan's going to be at the Tampa Bay Comedy, right?
He is going to be there Saturday night, aren't you, Jordan?
Yes, correct, sir. We're going to be doing the episode 2 of The Fall of Television.
And I'll tell you what, I was there for the first. Well, I have to be. And it was phenomenal. It was phenomenal. These guys had such a challenge because they were coming in years after we had an improv troupe there that was extremely popular.
I mentioned
it earlier in the show. I don't know if you heard it. And, you know, I thought, boy, what a hard act to follow. And is this guy going to pull it off? And he had some new ideas and he wanted to change things around. And I was like, oh, no, I'm old. You don't change anything around on me.
So conservative.
And it was phenomenal. I mean, it was just phenomenal. They did a great job and it's updated and fresh and new. And go ahead, Jordan, tell them about it.
It is. Well, the show is based on improvisation. It's like short form improv, like Whose Line Is It Anyway? But rather than getting suggestions from the audience, like, you know, where is this scene going to be set and that old crap, we're just taking 2.5 men episodes and improvising them. I personally have never seen the show. I've never found myself in a situation where I have nothing better to do than watch 2.5 men, so I've never watched it. So I found it interesting. You know, maybe I can explore 2.5 men and why it was such a popular show without actually having to watch it or connect with it in any meaningful way.
And I thought you were kidding. I thought you were kidding. I'm sorry. I thought you were kidding when you said that. I couldn't believe you never saw an episode, but yet we have an improv themed, you know, with the show. And so you really never have seen an episode ever?
Never.
Funny show. It was a very funny show.
All right. Okay.
Well, we look forward to having you at the station one of these times as well. Give everybody your Facebook, your website, where they can reach you.
Look for us, The Fall of Television on Facebook. I don't think we got our website yet. Crystal Gorgeous, who is our producer and handling all that, will be happy to get in touch with you and answer any questions you have. She's a lovely woman.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Yeah, if you go to TampaBayComedy.com, we have them on the schedule. There's the pages up there, or they can check Tampa Bay Comedy on Facebook, and if they have any interest in coming out to the show, we'd love to have you. It's a great, great show. It's a lot of fun. It's very addictive.
Yes, it is.
And it's going to be the first Saturday of every month at Sonny's Comedy Lounge at the Sunset Point Cinema Bar and Grill. And the phone number to call is 727-741-8014. Jordan runs the show there. Crystal's the producer, but Jordan's the host.
And we got great guys. We got Bradley Gilmore, John J. Murray. We're going to have other people whose names I can't remember. Oh, God. Tara Zimmerman, I think, and Nina Randett are all going to be there Saturday.
And who was our special guest last week? Or last month?
Last month, we had Chris Gore just sitting in with us, a former Charming Hooligan. Next month, we got a guy coming all the way from England. Mr. John Wilson is going to come out and play with us, along with Miguel Hito, who can't be there this week, unfortunately.
Oh, awesome. Awesome.
And just so people know, this week's episode is going to be Season 2, Episode 8, Frankenstein and the Horny Villagers. So that should be fun.
Well, yeah. You know what? I know one of our young reporters has a quick question for you.
Absolutely.
Calvin is how old again? How old are you?
I'm 11 years old.
11 years old. He has a question for a comedy comic that he wants to ask you.
Excellent.
How hard is it to, for a comic to come up with comedy or...
Is it real life stuff you're asking, or does he write it down? Is it everyday things? He wants to know how you come up with your comedy.
Well, like most comics, I just steal from former comics and the greats. No, that's not true. Don't do that, Kelvin. Don't steal jokes. Comedy writing is difficult. I tend to thrive more on the improvisational side, where the pressure of being on stage with nothing prepared forces you to be funny. I find that when I sit down and try and write stuff, I get bored and distracted and play video games. So, you know, that's how it works for me, Kelvin.
Kelvin, I have to tell you that this improv is one guy delivers a line to the next guy, and he's got to come up with something funny, and it all has to come back and be part of the theme of the story and have the other guys work. I mean, it's phenomenal pressure. It really is. It's tremendous pressure.
Although there's a safety path. If you get stuck or you can't think of anything to say, you go to poop every time, Kelvin. That's good advice for you. If you're stuck for a joke, go to poop.
Yeah, poop jokes work all the time, every time, right?
Every time, dude.
Well, you know, we want to thank you for calling in. I know we went over with our major VIP guest as well. Everybody's a VIP guest on Hollywood Connections.
And
Jordan, thank you so much for calling in. And we do have a top agent on the line. If you want to stay on for a second, let's keep Jordan on. Let's put Marty on. Marty is calling in to talk about some of the things that he has been looking for in the entertainment industry. Marty, thank you for waiting. How are you doing today?
Fine. How are you, Dawn? How's everyone?
We're good. We're excited. We had Memory Lane with a top, Milwaukee Bucks president on from basketball. So, of course, I have two sports fanatics here that I have shows. And, they, you know, of course, I open the door, and it's like me interviewing a movie star for, like, ever, you know? I'm, like, not going to let them go.
Okay, that's good.
So we hear
that's very good. We hear a
beeping in the back. What was that?
That was me. Sorry.
Okay. Well, Marty, what are you going to talk about today?
Well, today I thought I would leave an open discussion for all the people that are listening in that have questions that they would like for me to answer, any venting concerns that they have. I'm sure we all do. I mean, everything can't always be positive and informative. Sometimes you just need to let things out. It's very therapeutic. It helps people, believe it or not.
It does.
And, you know, in my case, for instance, I'm just a little flustered and a little frustrated with some of the unprofessionalism that continues to go on here in South Florida. Even with all my efforts that I put step forward in order to educate them. Because the thing is, you don't want to reprimand someone and just not tell them what they're doing wrong. Just like in life, if you have good intentions for an individual, if they're doing something wrong, you may want to say, hey, you know, you're doing this wrong, but however, you may want to approach doing it this way. So they can become better people, better professionals, whatever. It's just gotten to the point I'm just like really, really frustrated with a lot of the stuff that continues to go on in South Florida. It's just, it just has to change.
Let me ask
starting
you.
Do
we still have Jordan on the phone?
Yes, I'm here.
Jordan, this is Marty. He's an agent. Do you have an agent?
I do not.
Well, where are you located, Jordan?
I'm local here in Pinellas County in Clearwater.
Okay. So, Marty, my question is, I know you're talking about talent in real open call, you know, do you accept comics for your agency?
I accept everything because, like I said, you know, before previous podcasts, I sometimes get comedians, belly dancers, everything, anything you can think of, I always get. Drag queens, scream queens, I even represent scream queens and horror, you know. Icon actors, everything you can think of, I represent pretty much. So, yeah, absolutely.
What about sports? You know,
let me ask you, Jordan, do you have any concerns, any questions pertaining to the industry or anything you want to vent regarding the industry?
Why has the industry forsaken me?
Why? Because we have numbskull politicians that think that we do not deserve to have the industry shooting here because they think that, and it's sad because Florida was once becoming the next Hollywood, okay? Mm-hmm. And they think that us professionals in the industry, if we really want to venture into the entertainment biz, we need to be in L.A. or Atlanta or Canada. It's very disheartening. It's sickening, but that's what we're dealing with. And then you have people like myself, a licensed agent that spends all this money every 2 years to renew my license, and then we have hardly any work for our wonderful actors we have. And then it's kind of like a domino effect because all the good actors, since there's no work, there's not an abundance of work here, they move to L.A. Right. I lost, within the past 2 years, I've already lost over 200 actors to L.A.
Gosh.
Wow.
And so the numbers keep escalating.
So, Marty, our only real hope here is a massive earthquake on the West Coast at this point. Is that correct?
Let me tell you, that's a good one. I also think we need to change things. Okay, we have a lot of politicians here in the state of Florida, and I love Florida. Trust me, I've been living here for over 14 years. I'm originally from New York, and I love Florida. I love the weather. It's beautiful. I just love Florida. And it saddens me that we have a bunch of knuckleheads that are politicians here, okay? And I think a lot of the problem is that people just do not care to vote.
Oh, yeah.
If people went out and voted, things can change. Mm-hmm. People need to research. People need to read. People need to make a stance. And how do you do that? Going out and voting.
Marty, voting is coming up next week. Can you recommend politicians that will help Florida get the entertainment industry back?
That's a good question. I know that Rick Scott needs to go. That's for sure. Rick Scott needs to go. Yes, he needs to go. He needs to go like in the Apollo, you know, when someone does a horrible job and they kick them out with Joe King. Mm-hmm. He needs to go. Yes, he needs to go. I don't know why people keep reelecting him. Is beyond me, okay? I know when I voted, it was, I forgot who was his opposition at the time, but I did not vote for him.
Wasn't it Charlie Crist?
Unfortunately, he keeps being re-entered into politics and as one of the politicians here for the state of Florida, which is beyond me. I have no idea. So,
Also, too, is we have a gentleman here that has another sports show as well. He has a question for you.
Yeah, hey, Marty. My name is Ray Miller. I'm a general manager of the St. Pete Tide. We're a minor league basketball team here in St. Pete. First, I just wanted to comment about what you were talking about. You know, I went to college at Emory University in Atlanta and studied film studies. So I saw how Atlanta has, you know, come a long way in the last 8 or so years. And I was just, you know, a lot of it is because of the politicians and the tax laws and the breaks that they give the I haven't been in the area, you know, as long as you have here in Florida. Do you think that there is a hope for the film industry here? And is it just a matter of getting the right politicians in there? Or is there something we can do, you know, in the community to build?
I want to believe that there is hope, okay? I have been a licensed agent for nearly a decade. And I take pride in what I do. Because I was brought up in the poorest part of the Bronx, where I had to dodge bullets in order to live. And all that humbled me as an individual. It did. Because I was taught, even though with the poorest upbringing, to love people for who they are inside. Not for the color of their skin, not for their religion. I love all types of people. And my agency, when I decided to open my talent agency, it wasn't to put my ego on a pedestal and have this narcissistic thing where I need the attention. You know, some of these agents do that, and I've seen it, okay? My intentions was to help people with their careers. Honestly,
yeah.
Effectively, being fair, treating everyone equally. I love all my talent, black, Asian, short, tall, fat, skinny. I love all right. my talent. But what I've noticed here, and this is another thing, is unfortunately there's a big discrimination here in South Florida. Starting from the top, starting with when you get the breakdowns, what is the majority of the breakdowns? Skinny, Caucasian, right. pretty people. What happens to the Hispanics? What happens to the African Americans? What happens to the Asians? What happens to the people that are over 35 years of age?
Yeah.
And I deal with this every single day. And I have so many talent that are frustrated. Gee, I'm too old. Gee, I'm not. I don't fit the criteria because I'm not, you know, I'm not Caucasian or I'm not this. I'm not. I says, unfortunately, this is what's given to me. I cannot change the breakdowns.
Hey, Marty. Yeah, I totally understand what you're saying. I appreciate that. I got one more question for you. You know, being a basketball general manager, I was wondering for you as an agent, is there any advice you could give me or to my players about how they can market themselves and how they could use an entertainment agent?
Oh, yeah, I want that too.
Yeah.
How could they market themselves? Yes. First of all, when you market yourself, you have to ask yourself, particularly if you're branching out and your name is getting branded, okay, and it's reaching all over internationally, am I going to be a positive role model? Or am I going to be a negative role model? Because you can decide to be the negative, like Miley Cyrus, who took all these innocent little children that was watching Hannah Montana,
right.
and then all of a sudden she decided to become this crazy girl that thinks
twerking
that her
everywhere,
beauty is cool.
And taking her clothes off. Yeah,
you see what I'm saying? So she kind of like, instead of working it to her advantage and doing something philanthropic, she used it for negativity. So I think a big portion is you have to ask yourself, if I'm going to brand myself, is it going to be for positive or negative? And I think when you, and this is a spiritual thing that I'm speaking of now, when you brand yourself to something positive and higher and you helping people out there, I do believe you will be blessed. You will be blessed threefold. So when you help people without ulterior motives and you're generally doing charities and all that stuff, and you've made it as an athlete, since we're talking about
right.
athletes right now, okay? I think a big problem with athletes, and I'm going to tell you straight up, is some of them need to eat humble pie. A lot of them, what they do is they become filthy rich, and they forgot where they came from.
Yeah.
They don't visit their neighborhoods. They don't give to charity. They don't reach out and give positive messages. All they do is they show this, oh, I'm filthy rich, and yeah, I live in a huge mansion. It's not enough.
Yeah, you got to stay grounded.
Well, Marty, I know
you have to stay grounded. Yeah.
That's okay. Now we have 1 minute.
You have to stay grounded, and you want to reach out to people. That's the thing, in a positive way. You
right.
know, because, you know, it's particularly if you come from a, you know, look, that whole little stance with these athletes not wanting to stand for the Pledge of Allegiance does not sit well with me.
I know, Marty.
I am sorry.
Marty, I know. We have 60 seconds, and I want to thank you so much. And I want to thank you for having behind the scenes with me at the movie in Tampa with my reporters and myself. We're looking forward to that. Maybe you could help me do camera.
Absolutely. Yeah, they're, sure. they're looking forward to seeing you next week.
Thank you.
I will private message you because I need your address because I think next Wednesday they're going to go on your radio show, correct?
Yes, for sure.
Director?
Yes.
Yeah, I'll private message you so you can send me the address and the time you want them there. And I'll send you the address for the shoe location. I have celebrities there that are waiting to be interviewed. They're looking forward to it.
All right.
And I'm looking forward to it as well. So
thank you, Marty.
Everyone that listens in, and have a good evening, everyone.
Thank you. God bless.
Marty,
sorry we went over, but it was so good. What a great
thanks
show today,
info.
And everybody
you,
a part of it. Going to the top of the hour, I'm Dawn Rees, Hollywood Connections. Go to hollywoodconnections.biz. We'll be right back. You don't want to miss the second hour. We have a major production company in the house. We'll be right back.